Tom Gazzolaprine, postgame host for the Edmonton Oilers here on TSN 1260, joins us. And, Tom, we were discussing the Oilers and potential PTOs. We saw the Flames sign four of them. That adds five because they already had Andrew McDonald. Brian Boyle, my understanding, not on a PTO. It sounds like he's got contract offers. So do you see anybody else that makes sense for the Oilers on a PTO?
Oh, Craig, first of all, I'm pumped up thanks to that song that you just jammed out to. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. The one name that kind of stood out, I mean, Low Tide and I talked about this not long ago. What about a guy like Thomas Vanek? Could you take a flyer on him? Potentially. Is he fast? No. Does he still score at the clip he used to? Probably not. Definitely not. But would he be an upgrade over some of the right wingers on this team currently on the roster? Yeah. And then the one thing that I noticed today was Kevin Kerr's tweet from San Jose, where Patrick Marleau is skating with the Sharks, but he's in a Leafs uniform. And it's, you know, what Kevin kind of hinted at is that things aren't progressing the way people thought they would with Marleau and the Sharks. And then that just gets my antenna going and raises it. And I think, well, could the Oilers find a way to squeeze him in? He's from Saskatchewan. Would he want to come closer to home? I know he's made a home in San Jose for the better part of the last two decades. Would that be something the Oilers could explore? Could they free up cap space? He would definitely be a huge improvement. He's obviously not the player he used to be, but he still contributes at a high level, and he could be effective on this team. And I'm sure he brings a good pedigree to that room as well. So just seeing the whole Marleau situation kind of unfolding, because we know that Joe Thornton's going to get done with San Jose, but Marlowe's the one where I'm like, huh, maybe there's something there. And that's what I kind of noticed today on the Twitterverse.
You know, it's interesting to Marleau. I never thought Marleau and Thornton would go there. I didn't see how that was possible. And Joe Thornton simply is a better player right now than Patrick Marleau, right? At 50 points last season. So, mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't surprise me that Marlowe's not going there, to be honest. But Vanek and Marleau are interesting because Vanek, the GM, Ken Holland, he had him in Detroit two of the last 3 years, right? They had him in 17, then they traded him away, then he's a free agent sign. Then they signed him again, and he had 36 points. Now, I know that's, you know, that's not earth-shattering, but 16 goals, 36 points. You know, a second power play unit option potentially. Now, he's not the fleetest of foot, but not everybody has to be a burner in today's NHL. My issue with Vanek is he's either on your top six or he can't play in your bottom six, right? I think unless you think your third line is going to be kind of like a soft minutes line, kind of, you know, where the top two lines take the tough competition. And you know, your third line, you hope to just battle against other teams' third line. So that may be what it is. What about Riley Sheehan?
Well, that's an interesting one, too, because he's relatively young. Obviously, a couple of years ago with his lack of scoring, that made headlines, obviously. And then we got to witness front row someone else, you know, do the same thing in Tobias Reeder, essentially. But Sheehan finally scored a couple goals at the last game at Joe Louis Arena of all things. He's an interesting one. He could be a decent, you know, checking forward. He could kill penalties. He's got okay size, like gets around the ice okay. I'd be okay with that. Like, why not float a PTO out to a guy like that? PTOs are essentially harmless, Greg. And I could see that happening. Why not? And, you know, I tried to sniff around today, see if I could dig up anything on what the Oilers are doing in terms of kicking tires on PTOs. And, you know, it didn't turn up too much. I know they've been tossing around names, but it didn't get any anything going in terms of concrete information. So I don't mind that. You know, PTOs are harmless. Honestly, if a guy works out, great. We saw it work out with Chase on last year. If a guy doesn't work out, fine. Thanks for coming out. See you later, basically. So those are some interesting names. And with Vanek, just the thought there is, could you super insulate him, like severely insulate him if you're so desperate for depth scoring, do you think? Or would that be too much of a detriment
to the roster? You know, it's possible. I don't know. You shelter him if you're playing him with McDavid or Nugent Hopkins. I don't know if you have enough guys in your bottom six that you can say, oh, we can shelter him here. Now, obviously,
right.
if you're talking offensive zone starts, I think that's an area, you know, you're probably not going to have him start in the defensive zone. By any stretch of imagination, that's not his forte. So, you know, he's a guy that made, because the one thing about Vanek has always been a smart player. I think he thinks the game very well. I just,
right.
when I look right now, and I would probably, I'd say, you know what? As a top six player, I would almost be willing to want to go with Zach Kassian over him, even if it's for the short term until you wait to see halfway through the year if maybe a young guy is ready or not, because he skates that much better. He's physical. He adds other elements to your game. Cassian's going
right.
to kill penalties. He's not going to be in your power play. So Vanek, it's kind of like, well, what's he going to do for us? Maybe he's a second unit power play guy. Probably he's a right shot. Okay, he could be
yep.
there. But he's not helping you on the penalty kill. He's definitely not a guy who's, you know, got a great defensive awareness reputation.
No.
Not like he's horrible defensively, but he's just not somebody you're like, hey, this guy's really going to win us some battles at key times late in games. So what else is he doing? I don't mind it on a PTO because you can come in and you can see how does he and Nygaard battle. Because at the end of it, it's like, well, if Nygaard looks that much more effective, then I'm keeping him. Because the great part
right.
about the Nygaard or Nygaard, however you're saying it yet, his contract and Haas is that if they don't make this team, my understanding is there's probably going to be a mutual termination of the contract, comes off the books, he goes back to Europe rather than go to the American League. That's my initial understanding, right? Like there's nothing written there right now, but
yep.
if it comes to that, a lot of times, like, you know what, I'm 27, hey, I can make 70 grand in the American League or I can make 250 playing in Europe, right?
Right.
So, pretty simple decision at that point for a player, unless he feels he's ultra, ultra close. It's like, yeah, I'll go do it for 10 games, and maybe they will. But because of that, and it's not a lock, okay, PTO for Vanek, I actually don't mind that. I would have preferred it 2 years ago, but considering he still scored 16 goals last year, it's probably a low risk, and your GM knows his personality.
Right. The only other question I would ask about Vanek is he's 35, and is he kind of at that same point UC Jokinen was a couple of years ago where he came to the Oilers and there was nothing left in the tank, essentially? That's my big question around Vanek, even though he had the 16 last year.
Yeah, that's totally, totally valid. The RFAs, I understand the standoff. Really, offer sheets are rare. I know Sebastian Aho got one, but they're still rare. The Jake Gardner UFA 50-point defenseman, that surprises me. Now, Jake Gardner, I like him in a lot of games. I don't love him in crucial moments of games. You know, he's yet to prove to me that he's at you know, that gritty in those key certain moments. But still, the guy can move the puck. He's going to help you on the power play. He's going to help you not only transporting it, but moving it up the ice. There's got to be, from what I hear, it's term. He wants a longer term, and a team isn't willing to give it to him. That's kind of surprising for a UFA defenseman at his age, and I wonder if it's slowly a little bit of awareness coming from GMs. We're done paying long term on UFAs.
Yeah, and that's an interesting. I mean, I didn't know he was 29. Like, this is a guy in the meat of his career here. But it's, like, and is he looking for a raise too? He made 4.5 last year, and our team. And I know he ate it when it came to playoff performance and defensive lapses and all of that, and he got crucified somewhat by the media. But is he going to have to take a haircut, or is he asking for a raise over that 4.5 per year? That's
oh,
the other
for
thing
sure.
too.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's asking for a raise, guaranteed.
And maybe he's one of these. He's clearly, I think. Not maybe. Clearly, he's one of these guys kind of stuck in a weird transition phase in the league, and unfortunate for him. But who's even got money left? I know Colorado has money left, but they need to get Rantanen done. What other teams would say, okay, Jake, we'll give you $5 million per year? You know, maybe even extend it to a 3-year deal plus. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the Ottawa Senators have a boatload of cap space if they want it. The other team that could afford him, although I'm not necessarily sold that they need him per se, because they've got Andy Green, Vatanen, and Will Butcher on their left side, is the New Jersey Devils, right?
Right.
That's a team. The Columbus Blue Jackets, but they've got Werenski and Jones. I'm not sure they need another one back there. And You know, the Anaheim Ducks have some money left over if they want to spend. But they've got Fowler and Lindholm as left defensemen, so I'd be very surprised if it's them. And you're right. So that's kind of, you know, it limits the options on what he's looking for in a contract in that regard, because there's just simply not a lot of bidders out there. Minnesota has money, but I'm assuming they want to re-sign Kevin Fiala. So, you know what? He might be painting himself into a picture here that Jake Gardner might have to sign a one-year deal on a low contract, and that to me is that could be a bargain deal for one team.
Yeah, and he'd have to be one of those guys betting on himself in this 1 year. So, oh boy, that's interesting. What's he like confidence wise? Has what happened to him in the last couple of years affected his mindset and his game? Those are kind of my questions for a guy like Gardner. I know he's supposed to be the smooth puck moving defenseman, but I'd want to know where he's at in his headspace as well, where he. Has the stuff that's happened to him kind of hurt his confidence level and his ability? What has the meat grinder that is Toronto done to him? Has it affected him as a player? Has it made him tougher? Like, those are the questions as an outsider I'd be asking if I was looking at taking him on.
Yeah, I have to look at, you know, a lot of people are texting the Habs. I just don't see where the Habs have the money right now to go out there. They've only got $4 million in cap space right now, so they'd have to make some other moves to get him. So, and you know, they've got Weber and Petr at the right side, but they could use him on the left side, no question about it. They're actually looking at their left D, they might have the worst left defense in the NHL with Carl Alsner, Ben Chariot, Kulak, and Riley. You know, Victor Medi's a young defenseman, I don't mind him, but as just pure left shot defenseman, they might have the worst, so they could probably use
him.
They just don't have much cap space to do it. Tommy, as always, appreciate your time. We'll chat with you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Greg.